I have a great quote from you that I really like. Right what you know is really the wrong thing to say. It's always right what interests you.
Yeah, exactly. I feel quite strongly about that, particularly in the case of young writers and kids in creative writing classes who are told, write what you know. And there's a point in life where you really don't know very much. And what you do is write your interior feelings and put them down on the page and so forth. And that can lead to very dull, kind of solipsistic, navel-gazing writing. And I think it's also part of the reason that we're locked into so many interior novels in the United States in recent decades. So I think it's good to learn languages, to travel, to get out, to look around, to see how the rest of the world operates before you start writing.
Well, you said writing really can't be taught.
I think it can be, but the way it's taught is not the way. My idea of the way it's taught would be to give somebody an immense reading list and say, go forth and read, because I think that's how you learn to write, by immense and deep and broad reading.
Is there any particular writer that you can look at, or a couple of writers that you could say were influenced you more in your own work?
Probably not. It would be very, very hard for me to do that. I usually carry around a list because this is a question that gets asked a lot. I have a list of 60 to 80 names of writers whom I really, really like. But I read so much and so incessantly, whether I'm writing or not writing, that to say any particular one is or was an influence would not be true.
Is it easy for you then to separate your reading from the work that you do?
I just don't feel that they're separate, because there's always something you can learn from reading somebody else's work. But I don't feel that doing that, you know, doesn't send me rushing to the paper with my pen to write down some telling phrase that I've just gleaned. But often reading another writer's stuff will spark imaginative and telling phrases of your own. So in that sense, it's a constant inspiration and, in a sense, keeping up to the mark. If you read the best and read a lot, you haul yourself up by your bootstraps constantly.
When you're reading that much, and your critical mind is at work, can you separate out when you're looking at your own work and not have that same sense of reading your own work that you have reading others? I mean, how far can you pull yourself back from your own work?
Oh, I see what you mean, what Hemingway called the built-in shit detector.
Yeah.
Yes, sure, sure. If you can't, you should look for another job, I think. You really have to be able to tell when it's awful and when stuff is awry and when you're into the wrong words and the just stuff that doesn't work.
Are you good at pulling stuff out that you really love but know doesn't belong there?
Yeah, I'm quite heartless. I don't have any great affection. Once it's written on the page, I go through lots and lots of drafts with a short story, 40 or 50 drafts is common. I was amazed one time to hear Hajin say that he did 100 drafts for his short stories. And when you read them, of course, they seem as effortless as water. It's work. It's the work part.
Most great art appears effortless. And it's almost as if the better it is, the more effortless it appears.
Right, exactly so. But that doesn't mean there's no effort there.
Annie Prue, what writer around now do you really love?
Tim Gautreau, out of Louisiana, who wrote a wonderful thing called The Clearing, which I think is one of the best novels I've read in many, many years, and I think it's the best thing he's ever written. It concerns the logging of a cypress swamp in Louisiana in the 1920s, and it's an immensely telling story, very powerful, very beautifully written, dark and dangerous and disturbing and kindly at the same time, a story full of love as well as murder and hatred and misery.